Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
That podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear those co-hosts shouting, it's Danger and Jay.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast Growling. Paul Ener Jr. and Jay Morrison of The Athletic. Excited to be with you here as we preview Sunday's game in Tennessee. Off to Nashville. All of you, very excited to be heading to Nashville. I'm positive of it because it's a great town. It's an easy roadie. It's one of the best roadies on the schedule. The weather's even going to be a little warmer for you. Everything's looking nice. Everybody loves a trip to Nashville. And a lot of people have some very good memories about the Bengals trip to Nashville last year. So a lot to discuss here, Jay. It's going to be a big one. Two of the best teams in the league right now.
Yeah, I love Nashville so much. I'm going a day early. I'm going to go Friday and spend some extra time at the bars down there on Broadway. But I agree. The highlight of the weekend is going to be the game because Tennessee is really playing well right now. And I had a feeling they were going to beat Green Bay in that Thursday night game. But that Ryan Tannehill that we saw that night looked nothing like the Ryan Tannehill the Bengals beat in the playoff game last year. And yes, this is a big, big game. The difference between 7-4 and 6-5 is enormous as far as how this playoff race goes, and both these teams jockeying for position in the AFC.
You know, the Titans are 7-3. They lost their first two. There's kind of some similarities to the Bengals when you look at it. I mean, you've got a team that came out, started the season with a kind of a stunning loss at home against the Giants, and then they got run by the Bills 41-7 in Buffalo. Since then, though, I mean, they've won 7 of 8. Their only loss was in overtime at Kansas City, maybe the best team in football right now. So clearly they've got something going for them. The other part about it is, though, I mean, when you look at their opponents, and I hate to play this game because you can only play who you can play, but Raiders, Colts, Commanders, Colts again, Texans, Broncos, Packers. There's a lot of teams that have taken up residence in the cellar of their divisions this year that are amongst that group that they've beaten. There's a bit of an unproven nature to Tennessee a little bit, but that said, they're still a tough team. They have one of the best defenses in football, and that defense is playing great. So we've talked a little bit about the role the Bengals have been on the last 5 weeks. They're number one in the league in points per drive over that stretch. Well, third in points allowed per drive over that same stretch is the Tennessee Titans. So you're really getting good on good. You're getting strength on strength of the Bengals offense trying to figure out ways to move the ball against Tennessee, where no one has really had much success of late. I mean, the Chiefs in overtime are the only one to go past 17 points against them. They haven't allowed more than 17 points in regulation since week 3. Tennessee's defense, no joke. And here comes a Bengals team that's gone 30 plus for the last 5.
Yeah. And honestly, that stretch of 7 out of 8, I think the most impressive game that Tennessee played was the loss to Kansas City. They had a rookie quarterback back there that just looked completely lost. If they had Tannehill in that game, if they had any competent quarterback in that game, they beat the Chiefs. They shut that offense down until the very end of the game, where the momentum just kind of turned because the Titans could literally do nothing offensively with Willis at quarterback, and they should have won that game. They should be on an 8-game winning streak right now, and it is. This is I think everybody expected them to be good. They were a playoff team last year. They were a number one seed, but they might be the most underrated team in the conference right now.
Yeah, and we'll see, you know, the other side of things. Derrick Henry, this is not Derrick Henry in his first game back off an injury like it was in the playoffs last year. How will he be able to play? I mean, he's averaging 4.4 yards per carry. He's over 1,000 already for the season. He looks like the Derrick Henry of old a little bit. But yeah, that's the question, right? Is will Ryan Tannehill resemble the playoff Tannehill? Like, or will the Bengals and Lou Anarumo be able to befuddle him a little bit? I mean, I remember talking to Lou and a lot of the players for a story about this defense entering the season. And a lot of them referenced back to that Tennessee game, how they felt like they were really able to manufacture looks, be able to kind of keep them guessing and keep them, you know, and it ended up causing obviously a lot of turnovers. And a lot of bad decisions by Tannehill. I mean, maybe some stuff like what you saw Sunday against Pittsburgh, where DJ Reader's dropping back into coverage, and it's getting free runners for Sam Hubbard and a one-on-one for Trey Hendrickson. I mean, you never quite know, but I think that's the kind of stuff that did give Tannehill problems last year. Zach Taylor, with familiarity with him, perhaps knowing different ways to maybe try to confuse him, but. That's going to be inevitably probably one of the biggest parts of what goes down on Sunday.
Yeah, and DJ Reader came back for the Pittsburgh game. This is the game where he's going to be most effective. They need him against Derrick Henry, because you're right, this is a totally different Derrick Henry. Anybody that watched that game against Green Bay, he was just plowing through that defense. And, you know, Derrick Henry's a guy that DJ Reader's gone against many, many times, twice a year when he was in Houston. And that's the key to shutting down. Yes, Tannehill looked really good in that last game against Green Bay, but a lot of that was play action and playing off of how effective Derrick Henry was. If they can shut Henry down, but if they can just keep it modest and just keep him in the 70-80 range, I do think that they can take advantage of some Tannehill mistakes. But if Derrick Henry starts getting loose, it's going to be a tough climb.
You know, last year, Burrow famously takes 9 sacks in the game against Tennessee, and so much of it came right up the gut. And here now you have the off-season additions, right? I mean, they changed everything. And most notably, went after the interior on the first day of free agency.
Yeah.
Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, they drafted Cordell Volson, who's come along pretty nicely. And for games like this, teams like Tennessee, for watching what happened against Tennessee, they have to fortify the interior of the line. Tennessee will ruin this. And we see teams, you know, that interior pressure is really just what changes everything for quarterbacks. And trying to win more often there and not have it be what it was last year in Tennessee was so much the thrust of the offseason. And now you'll get a chance to see what that maybe looks like as they put it in action. Can they give them time? Can they contain those interior pass rushers that are so good for the Titans? And David Long at linebacker, who does such a good job, you know, their middle is just so strong there, all the way back to the safeties, that you know, that is going to be such a key to watch of how much of what we saw last year, which was just the interior pass rushers for the Titans just destroying everything in front of them, show up again. Or will the money spent be money well spent against the Titans?
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, Ted Karras has played really well. He's not been giving up many pressures at all this last month. Alex Kappa played great against the Steelers. Cordell Volson's kind of the wild card there. He has played well, quote, for a rookie, but we're past the halfway point now. These guys aren't rookies anymore. He's the one that I don't want to say the weak link, but that's an area that I think Jeffrey Simmons in the interior of that line can attack. And it is. It's going to be up to those three in the middle to keep the pressure from getting in Burrow's face. And letting him do what we saw him do Sunday night in Pittsburgh. And that's spread the ball around. Doesn't matter who's out there catching passes. He can get it to him. He can move this offense.
Yes. And so we will see what ends up happening with getting everybody back, whether we're talking about Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase. Those will be, you know, names that we'll be tracking sort of throughout this week as far as what their availability will be. Obviously, there's hope that Ja'Marr Chase could be back. They left this window open for this game specifically, right. But that will kind of be a TBD to track. Keep it locked to Twitter, and Jay will have you all filled in on that and plenty more on what's going to happen next with Ja'Marr Chase there. Before we do that, you know, last year, one of the biggest plays of the entire postseason, and a postseason that was full of this guy making big plays, was Jesse Bates intercepting Ryan Tannehill on the very first play of that game. And it was just such a tone setter on a day where turnovers defined everything. In fact, the first play and the last play of that game for the Titans were interceptions. Jesse Bates has had an interesting year. I mean, he's kind of been in the background a little bit. He hasn't necessarily played great. The contract thing looms over. We know about him not being around all of camp. It felt like, Jay, a good time to check back in with Jesse.
Yeah, and he was agreeable to sit down and talk one-on-one. And we, as you'll hear, we cover things like him losing his captaincy and just how he feels overall that he's played this year. And what he says and understands is probably his last ride in Cincinnati.
For the season so far, just your assessment of it, how do you think things have gone?
I think we've done a lot of good things. I think we wish that we were kind of in a better spot with the games that we probably could have won early in the season, but that's not something that you can't really dwell on and think about now, because there's going to be really important games coming up this last 8 weeks, whatever it is. So I think those games are going to be like championship games. We got the divisional game, and then you go to the Titans. It's easy to look down that line and kind of be like, all right, we got to play here. But I mean, you got to take care of 1 week at a time.
Yeah.
And it starts with the Steelers. Hopefully we can come out and show the world what we're about in the second half of the season. So,
how about you personally? I know a couple times after you signed the tag, you said that there's your mission to prove you're the best safety in the league. How do you feel that you've played so far this year?
Yeah, I think I've played really well. I haven't had a lot of opportunities, I don't think, where the ball is kind of pushed down the field. But, I mean, you can't really control that part. My job is to get everybody lined up, make sure I'm communicating well. Sometimes that doesn't show up on the stat sheet as much as far as tackles and interceptions. But, you know, my mindset is just continue to focus on the now, continue to focus on the moment, and try to have an impact in everything I do. I think obviously missing training camp and jumping straight into the season, kind of got to get your feet wet and kind of get settled into some things. But overall, like I said, I think I've played pretty decent besides the touchdown I gave up in Dallas. It's just how the game goes sometimes.
Right.
I can have zero interceptions the first, 5 weeks, and then I'll turn it up and, kind of comes in bunches. So my goal is to catch 5 of them in the second half of the season.
And, okay.
We're going to see.
Yeah, you only won in the regular season last year, and then you got two, and then an assist on another one in the playoffs.
Right. And so it's part of the game.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
One of the things, I don't know how much stock you put in PFF, but they got you ranked as the sixth best safety in run defense.
Right.
And I know that's been something you wanted to improve. How did you get better at that with, you know, not missing training camp? That's not really something you can work on your own. And,
I think one of the main parts is just my conditioning. In the off season, I've came in at the heaviest weight that I've been at all year, my whole career. Coming in at like 210, being able to fit the run game physically, and then mentally, I think I've been able to see a lot of the run schemes. How gaps change when somebody moves. So it's just experience, I think. And then also, like I said, in the weight room, giving credit to my trainers during the off season. So I'm not sure how they rank that stuff on PFF. Yeah. I'm not sure if they know what exactly the run fits are and stuff. But,
right. I think it's more just along the missed tackles. Right, you haven't had a lot of those.
No. Yeah, that's something that I wanted to kind of get that number down as well. A lot of times it's me one-on-one. A lot of my tackles are one-on-one, as to where other guys are kind of in a hole in the alley making a one-on-one tackle. So I might miss some of them, but at the same time it's my job to get them down. So I think I've done a good job doing that.
I remember last year, I don't remember what point it was, but you're out in the tunnel and talking about how you kind of let the contract negotiations get into your head too much. And I know you think people outside of here made a little too much out of those conversations. But did you learn anything from that process that you've taken into this year where you're able to kind of separate the?
Yeah, I think this year is a little bit easier. Obviously, because I don't think you can talk about contracts and stuff like that until after the season. So the only thing I can control is how I play now, how I can have an impact on this team to continue to win football games. So as to last year, it was kind of like my first time going through it. There could have been an extension during the season, so I was just kind of like thinking it like that. Like I said, just being a young guy, going through that contract negotiation, sometimes you don't know until you know. And I was able to go through that last year and learn from it. You don't just go through things and not learn from stuff. So I've done a good job of doing that. Then also just keeping my mind clear, doing my normal yoga, meditation and stuff like that before games.
Is it hard to keep it from being kind of a rift where, like these guys in here have your back, and that's a different thing, but as far as organizationally and just not having, hard feelings?
Yeah, I think that was part of it as well. Just keeping my mind clear, keeping my heart clear. Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean that nobody wants you here. You just kind of go through those kind of thoughts as you go through that process, because you don't know. You don't know what's going on. All you can talk to is, your agent almost, because, even your agent doesn't really go through that process ever.
Right.
So, it's just something that you learn as an individual, and, hopefully you learn and grow from that situation. I think I have. So.
I know. I looked up the guys that have played the most snaps on defense since 2018 when you came in the league, and you're number two on defense. You know who number one is?
Who's that?
It's Kevin Byard, who David also represents.
Yep.
And, so is that something you take pride in, just the being there constantly? And
I think availability is the best thing that you can have, and I've been very fortunate that I've been healthy for the most part, and then also just continue to play at a high level. Like I said, maybe that's not always making plays all the time, but always having the trust of the coaches, no matter what, that will always be in a good defense. Just based off me communicating, me and Von having that chemistry, being able to communicate to the whole defense, make sure that we're on the same page. So I think that's something that Kevin takes pride in as well. I've been able to have conversations with him over the years. I kind of like his game, just like mine. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really good player. Very situational awareness. He's at top notch. Kevin is so. Yeah.
Because that is so much of who you are, is the guy that's always there and you depend on. How hard was training camp to not be there? Yeah. I mean, I know you like to play ball. You want to be a part of it, but you had to take care of something.
Yeah, it was really hard. I was able to go out to eat with the guys, I think, right before training camp had started, just to kind of lay out that I still care. Obviously, I want to be there. But they understand the business side. So do the coaches. So had a great offseason. Like I said, I came in at 210. I was able to go to my nephew and my little brother's basketball, football games all over the summer. So there was a lot of blessings that came out of, you know, missing training camp. But yeah, I did miss the ball, part of it. And I think it did kind of have some type of flow, just getting in the flow of just playing football again. You can't do that when you're just one-on-one training with a trainer. It takes 22 guys to kind of fill up a whole football field,
right,
and kind of have that feel. So, yeah, it was good.
I mean, it's obvious the respect you have from everybody in this locker room, but then you come back, you guys start the season, they do the captain vote, and it's not you this year.
Right.
Did that hit you any certain way? Or?
No, I mean, obviously, to be a captain, you got to be here.
Right.
I knew that just because I'm not a captain don't mean that I can't be a leader in this locker room. I know a lot of guys still look at me in that eye. A lot of guys around this locker room was here last year as well when I was a captain. I don't think my role on this team has changed ever since. So it was pretty cool to wear a C on your chest, though.
It
is pretty cool. But, no, I feel good. Like I said, it's not anything against, you know, the team or the coaches or anything. And I'm not a captain because the guys that were selected as captains definitely deserve it. So,
yeah. I know when I asked you about doing this interview, I mentioned the kind of next week going back to Tennessee, and you had a huge interception against Tannehill, and we're not going to run this until next week, so I don't want you to feel like you're focusing on Tennessee before Pittsburgh. But how much do you remember about that play? How much did that, you think, really kind of, I know you already had one win against Vegas, but really kind of propel the team all the way to the Super Bowl?
I thought that was a huge play, part of the game, kind of set the tone for our team. In those games, a lot of times you kind of don't want to make a mistake. Your mindset is don't make a mistake. And it's just something that I've studied on the film, and I've seen it tons of times throughout that whole week, and I told myself I was going to make that play. And then for it to happen the very first play of the game, I was just like, wow, it can't get any better than that. So, it's just something that, like I said, I think over, you know, the season, you kind of watch film and people repeat plays and you see splits, and that's kind of where my game kind of steps up to a next level. That's where my strength is, I think, in the game, is just being super extinctful and just being able to see plays, see splits, and then go react. So, hopefully they throw the ball again the first play.
You think there'll be special feelings walking back into that place?
Yeah, not just for me. I think my mom's going to go again. She was there for the playoff game. So, and then everyone here, I mean, they know the feeling that we had walking into that place. I think they were coming off a bye week.
They were number one seed.
So I thought, and, you know, coming in, just being the underdogs and not caring what people think. And just going there, we dominated. Think back. I don't think Derrick Henry got out at all. I think the Foreman guy from
the
Panthers, he got out on, I had missed a tackle.
And then Mike picked off Tannehill the very next play.
Yeah, he picks him off. So there was a bunch of, you know, emotions just up and down. But most importantly, we survived and we advanced. So I think that has to be the mindset for the second part of the season. That's to kind of go 1-0, survive and advance every single week, because these games are going to mean a lot.
I mean, great memories, obviously, with you guys all together and you individually. And I mean, do you think about this kind of being a last ride, so to speak, not knowing what's going to happen after this? And do you see any future here?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ruled that out?
Yeah. Obviously, I've been drafted here. I've been here for 5 years, so I want to be here. You know, that's what happens in this league sometimes, where teams break apart. But that's part of it. And all you can really do is focus on the now. And like I said, that's why I'm really enjoying this locker room. Maybe it is the last ride, maybe it's not, but all I can control is just enjoying the guys that's here right now, and just continue to be a leader and helping this team get to where we were last year. So, yeah, I guess you can kind of say that, kind of a last ride. And I mean, people know that, you know, I'm not the only one that's in this situation where this is my last year on my contract. You know, there's multiple guys in this locker room that's like that. So
multiple safety.
Yeah, exactly, multiple safety. So. Yeah, we're more than aware of it. If anything, it should motivate us even more to just enjoy playing with each other, because the stuff that we did last year, the stuff that we're going to do this year, you know, doesn't happen at all in people's careers. So I've been able to create relationships in here that's going to last me a lifetime. You know, I got some of my best friends on this team as far as Vaughn, Pratt, and DJ, you know, multiple guys. I've gone to UFC fights with Joe Burrow, you know what I'm saying? Like, just stuff like that, I think people don't really think about. And then nephews, like, my nephews know every single player on this team. So,
how old is he?
My nephew's 5 years old, okay. 6 and 3 now, actually. Yeah. He just turned 6, and my other one is 3. So, I mean, they know the whole roster. They have called me before the game. whether I'm playing cards with Trey or something like that, they'll notice you know, exactly who they are. So, like I said, I got best friends on this team, and I'm super thankful for my years that I've been here.
All right. Thanks again to Jesse Bates for taking the time to sit down and talk with me. It's always great to hear from Jesse, whether it's in a group interview or, as was the case here, in a one-on-one. He is always so thoughtful and detailed in his answers, and it truly is appreciated. One player that we've yet to hear from, or recently have yet to hear from, is Ja'Marr Chase. And I caught up with him in the locker room Monday to see if he was willing to talk, which he has not been since he suffered this hip injury. And instead of saying no this time, he said this week. And I asked Wednesday, and he said no promises, but this week. So it does sound encouraging, but there's still some steps that need to be, that the Bengals need to see from Ja'Marr to get him back on the field Sunday. Zach talked about this yesterday, and they're going to work him in. I would expect probably a rehab field stint on Wednesday, and they'll just see how he progresses. I know people kind of roll their eyes at the day-to-day designations, but that's really what this is. They're going to have to see. They would love to have him back for this game. I think they're going to be cautious, however, because you don't want to risk him missing more time down the road by bringing him back a little bit too soon. I don't think the Titans are the kind of offense that is where you say we have to have Ja'Marr Chase. Let's not forget this Bengals offense has played great in the last 2 weeks without Ja'Marr Chase. So it is going to be a wait and see type of thing. There were a few transactions Monday, and one of them might give us a hint on how the organization is viewing Chase's possible return. And that was their decision to waive wide receiver Mike Thomas. And that was to clear a spot for Isaiah Prince, the offensive tackle who had been on IR since September 2nd with an elbow injury. So they waive Mike Thomas, they bring back Isaiah Prince. That keeps the roster at 53. The reason I say that might give us a hint is because we're after the trade deadline now. That means Mike Thomas needs to clear waivers, instead of a lot of times you see when these veterans get released, it's a wink, wink deal that happens and they know they're going to come back. There's no guarantee of that this time, because this is a gamble. There's other teams out there that might need some wide receiver depth that could claim him, including Tennessee, including Kansas City, the Bengals' next two opponents. They'd love to have a little insight into the operations in Cincinnati. You see those moves made from time to time, too. There's not a lot of great intel, but when you're talking about what the NFL is and how close these games are, any little advantage a team can get, they'll take. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out if Mike Thomas does get claimed. If he doesn't, the Bengals also waived Cincinnati negative and linebacker Tigre Scales on Monday. That practice squad opening is earmarked for Mike Thomas if he's not claimed. I fully expect to see him back in Cincinnati on the practice squad. Trenton Irwin has been on the practice squad all year, but they maxed out on their standard elevations with him Saturday. That was the third time they've done that. That's the max. He comes in and catches his first career touchdown pass against the Steelers. He has career highs with three catches, 42 yards. He's really played well in these games when they've elevated him since Chase has been down. Now that those standard elevations have maxed out, Irwin would have to clear waivers if they want to put him back on the practice squads. And I don't think that's a risk they're willing to take. So we should see Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it is that I expect that they will announce that Trenton Irwin has been signed to the 53-man roster, which of course means someone else has to go. And the most likely course of action there would be the release of Kevin Huber, the punter, after Drew Chrisman performed so well Sunday night in his NFL debut. He had punts of 57 and 50, both pinned the Steelers inside their 10. He had a not so great punt of 40, but that was from his own end zone in a tight game in the second half. A lot of pressure there. He avoided the catastrophe. He managed to get off a 40-yarder. Yes, the Steelers started in Bengals territory, but the defense rose to the occasion, forced a punt. The Bengals take over at the 7, which was the exact line of scrimmage when Chrisman booted that 40-yarder. And the offense responded with that impressive 93-yard touchdown drive that really put the game away. And I wrote about that, my story on that drive, the 92-yarder in the first half. That story is up on the site if you want to check that out. Just huge moments in that game. So I think that about covers it for the news. As Paul mentioned earlier, this will be our only podcast of this week before we get to the walkout Sunday after the Titans game. So if you want to keep tabs on how Chase is responding in practice, you can follow me on Twitter at @JMorrisonATH. The Bengals have a normal practice week this week, but there's not going to be any immediate availability on Thursday. They're going to force us to spend time with our families. We'll get an injury report on Thursday. I think that's where you might see Ja'Marr Chase limited, Ja'Marr Chase full, whatever it may be. I expect Wednesday to be a did not practice as he goes through the rehab work on the side field. Friday, we should get a clearer picture of where Chase stands for his possible return Sunday against the Titans. And then Paul and I will have you covered after the Titans game and see if the Bengals can do it to him again in Nashville, or if things go sideways and now all of a sudden you're back in this this higher road to climb to get back in the playoff push. For all things Tennessee leading up to the game, let's go to my conversation with our Titans writer, Joe Rexroad. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, and I was in – this was like a kind of wild little trip I planned, including driving to Lambeau. And so this has been a very good reminder of why I can't tolerate this weather anymore the last few days. I can tell you that. Walking out of Lambeau at 12:30 a.m. with the, 2-mile walk to your car that they now make you do at Lambeau. Oh, yeah, that will open your eyes a little bit.
Yeah, I was feeling sorry for myself walking out of a Heinz or Acrisure Sunday night. That was a little chilly. But, yes, Green Bay is a different kind of cold. Yes. Not going to be cold Sunday in Tennessee and Nashville for this Bengals Titans game. But before we get to that game, we can't really have a discussion about that game before we get to last year. What happened 10 months ago? Now, I've heard from a number of Bengals fans, some of whom are on my tax return, who said that divisional win against the Titans was maybe their favorite moment of the entire playoff run last year. And then on the flip side, you have Titans GM John Robinson crying at the combine when talking about that game. You have Ryan Tannehill talking about going to a dark place after that loss. Just, have you ever seen a loss affect an organization that profoundly as that one did last year?
I can't say I have, Jay. And, certainly it's the way the game went, but it's also just the opportunity that was squandered there. The Titans, and of course, when the Titans – against pretty serious odds got the one seed, there were some Titans fans saying, I've seen this before, the Ravens ruined it and they ruined it another time. And I was like, look, you're going to take the one seed whenever you can take the one seed. Okay. Yeah. But look, you sack the opposing quarterback 9 times. You have 2 games at home to win, to get to a Super Bowl. and you blow it. And yeah, that it absolutely affected them. And it was, as you said, the two things that you pointed out there were probably the two biggest manifestations of it. You know, John Robinson breaking down at the combine months, well, I guess not months, but, you know, weeks after the game, and then Tannehill opening up about how it affected him. Because, look, it did, I think, permanently alter the way Tannehill is viewed in this town, and really to some extent, I think, across the league as well.
So that game is obviously going to be a big topic this week for you, the rest of the media down there. How do you think the Titans are going to respond to that? Is it going to be, oh, we're, this game is all that matters? Or do you think redemption and revenge are going to be real motivators for that team this week?
I don't think Vrabel will. Now, Vrabel is a big, he loves, you know, I mean, if Vrabel points anything out, he may point out that the Bengals are favored. But I don't think Vrabel will spend half a second on that. Mm-hmm. Will it be in the minds of some guys? Yeah, I'm sure. Will we get that out of any of them? You know, I'm trying to think of, like, who are the top candidates? Maybe like Jeff Simmons, you know, like here and there. There's a couple guys in there who might allow that. But for the most part, they're not going to indulge that too much. But, yeah, I don't think Vrabel's going to – I mean, it's two different teams and it's a different situation. I think, again, it's like that game was largely about – like the Titans did what they wanted to do. Obviously didn't have Derrick Henry at full speed, but they got him back. It came down to Tannehill turning the ball over three times, you know? So it really is about him. If anyone, I would think that he in there would like to have a better performance against this team, even though it obviously can't undo the past.
All right, let's just take a quick break.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So the crazy thing is, I mean, you mentioned how valuable that one seed is and how it sets you up, and the Titans are one game behind the Chiefs right now to be back in that position for the number one seed, but you never hear them mentioned among the league's elite or the Super Bowl contenders. It's always this other pod of teams that they talk about. Do you think this team has what it takes to make that kind of run this year?
Well, had they finished the deal at Kansas City a couple weeks ago with Malik Willis at quarterback, then I would say yeah, and obviously they'd both be in different situations. It's just tough losing that tiebreaker. And then you look at Kansas City's schedule ahead and what the Titans have ahead. I'd be surprised this year if they're still in it as of like mid-December. But, I mean, look, who knows? This is a tough game. At Philly after that is a tough game. You know, Dallas comes later. But, I mean, I wouldn't put anything past this team. I do agree with your larger point, Jay, that they are overlooked. I mean, it's been that way for – you know, and I don't know. I think sometimes maybe like, you know, market size and all that comes into like you're not on the argue shows as much or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's a boring style of play compared to some teams. But I do think they get overlooked a little bit too much around the league, and they should be respected because when you have a defense as good as theirs when it is whole and when you have a Derrick Henry, and that can work for you in January. And we've seen it before with these guys.
Yeah, they've won 7 out of 8. You know, the loss you mentioned, Kansas City, that's one of the games I've watched this year. I also watched that Green Bay game that has you on this trip right now. And I was really impressed with Tannehill in that game. You talked about how that kind of the perception of him kind of changed from that playoff game last year. Did what he how he performed Thursday night against the Packers, did that change anything? Or are people maybe seeing him in a different light? Because it wasn't just the stats. I mean, his throws were crisp and right on the numbers. Or was that a one-off? Was it just a welcome back Traylon Burks moment? I mean, what went into that performance?
Yeah, he was outstanding. You could make the case that's as impressive a performance as he's had, because when he was racking up huge numbers and, you know, people were talking like, is this the best quarterback that the Titans have ever had? He had a better offensive line with a legit left tackle, with A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, with Derrick Henry running for 2,000. I mean, everything was in in place for him then, and it's not now. I actually think, Jay, that this season as a whole has aided the perception of him again. And look, there's still the skepticism, and I think there should be, about whether in January, in those pressure moments, he can elevate a team. He can make the winning plays. But this year, the conditions have been terrible. Mike Vrabel talked about being great around him. You know, it's nobody's fault that they lost Taylor Lewan to, you know, to a re-injury of his ACL. Mm-hmm. But you trade away A.J. Brown, and you really don't replace that production at all. Not, like you said, Treylon Burks has a big game last game. We'll see. The pass blocking has been bad. The lack of weapons has been, in some weeks, just astounding. I mean, like no receiver receptions in some weeks. So for he's actually performed quite well this year, given the circumstances. And I think he's gained a lot of respect. And there's no doubt about his toughness. He had to miss a couple games, but even playing against Denver the way he did on what was clearly a tender ankle was very impressive.
You know, you mentioned Derrick Henry there. I wanted to get to him next. It's crazy, but you know, 28, that's the age when you start talking about running backs hitting a wall. And it seems like Derrick Henry's just kind of run through that wall. Like he runs through everything. But the wear and tear, I mean, that is a real thing. And he leads the league in rushes right now. If that holds up, it's the third time in 4 years. Is you think there's any talk or thought and maybe dialing him back a little bit as we get into the second half of this season? Or is this offense just always going to go through to Derrick Henry?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jay. And, you know, I think some of the answer may be the position the Titans are in. I mean, basically, they have the division won. I mean, if they just get to 9, they have 2 games with the Jags and 1 with the Texans. If they just get to 9, 2 more wins, the Colts would have to go 5-1. Which they're not going to do. So basically, they have the division and they have a home playoff game. But what happens with Derrick Henry this time of year, if you're playing for something, is you're right, there's wear and tear, but there's a lot of defenses that have no interest in tackling him, especially when you get into teams like that, right? The Texans and Jags are just playing off the string. You know, so it's going to be interesting. I think if they are in the race for the 1 seed or even just a seeding situation that might be beneficial to them, then I don't think you'll see much dialing back. I think they'd like to have more balance, and maybe the passing game will allow that to happen. But ultimately, it's what they're built around, and this is when he flourishes, other than obviously, you know, the 1 year he broke his foot. But then there's also the question, like you said, 28 years old, he does finally have that serious injury in his history. So do you think about things differently? So far, and Mike Vrabel's been asked that question about 800 different ways. So far, there's been no indication that they think of anything but just give Derek the ball.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not alone with that thought. It kind of struck me. We've seen the kind of the same thing with Joe Mixon in Cincinnati, where, you know, up until that huge performance against Carolina, the thought was, has he hit the wall? Has he lost a step? And then he explodes with the 5-touchdown game and everybody starts rethinking things. Something that kind of surprises me about the Titans, based on what we saw last year with them sacking Joe Burrow 9 times. They're 30th in pass defense this year. They're 24th in pass rush win rate. The 2 games I watched, it looked like they were getting after Mahomes and Rodgers pretty good. What is going on with that pass defense? Is it a product of them getting big leads and the other teams just throwing a lot to catch up? Or are there issues with how they defend the pass?
It's a little bit deceiving, for sure. Now, of course, they certainly are not the same team that was rushing Joe Burrow in the playoff game. Harold Landry lost their top pass rusher from last year, tore his ACL in camp, so they lost him right after, you know, signing him to a big deal. And then they've had various people. I mean, it's been another incredible year of injuries for the Titans. So Bud Dupree has missed a lot of time with a hip. It'll be very interesting to see if he comes back this week. I think that's a big key to this week, is getting him back. Danico Autry now down with a knee that he suffered at Green Bay, and it looked bad. As Vrabel told us the next day, they lucked out because he was crying. He's on a cart, and it's, you know how that usually goes. Mm-hmm. But they avoided the season-ending injury, but he certainly won't play in this game.
Yeah.
So when they have – long story short, when they have everything put together, they're pretty good. And they have – you know, Christian Fulton is a really good cornerback. They drafted Roger McCreary, and he's been a terrific find in the second round out of Auburn. And then, you know, they're very good at safety with Amani Hooker, Kevin Byard. Hooker has been out. Slot corner Elijah Molden's missed most of the year. Fulton missed some time with a hamstring. Caleb Farley, first round pick from last year, basically was bounced out of the lineup. He's part of the reason those pass defense numbers. He gave up some big plays early in the season. He's kind of been moved out. And then he has a back injury and is hurt again. But if they are whole, if they have most of their pieces, they've been very good in some games, very good against the pass and getting after the quarterback. But it's just like the lineup has been very fluid this year.
Yeah, Fulton was another one I wanted to ask you about because, we've got the possibility of Ja'Marr Chase coming back this week. Those two were college teammates at LSU. I had a great time talking to their dads last year.
Yes.
About their growing up and before the playoff game. He left that Green Bay game he aggravated the hamstring, right? Do you know where things stand with him this week? Or?
Yeah, I don't at this point. And that, it won't be long before we have an idea, but he did. So, and that's sort of been a recurring thing with him. Mm-hmm. He actually, I thought, was playing very well. I was a little surprised he played in the game. I thought maybe they'd give him that night, and then you have this long break, and you can feel good about it, about him being healthy for this game. So he obviously has had more of a rest with that being a Thursday night game, but that's a huge key, of course, yeah. Especially, as you said, if his buddy's back in the lineup for the Bengals.
Yeah. I hate to make this an injury rundown, but it's always surprised me the villain that Randy Bullock was here in Cincinnati. And I know he missed the Green Bay game. Is he going to be able to kick in this game? And how has he performed this year?
Well, he should be good for this game. They waived Josh Lambeau the other day. So it was a calf, and he aggravated it before the Denver game. So it's a short-term thing. And, he missed the game-winning kick, and I forget I think it was 45, 46 yards against the Giants in the week one loss of the Giants. So it was like, oh, man, are they going to be back on the kicker carousel again? But he's stabilized since then and has been fine. I mean, they were having such issues with that position, of course. I mean, even the year they go to the AFC title game, I mean, they were going – there was a new kicker every 2-3 weeks. So he has stabilized things. There's still a little bit of – hesitation with a really long field goal with him. Yeah. You could do better than Randy Bullock, but he's been pretty good for him.
Yeah, special teams player of the week a couple weeks ago, right? The injury. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to end this with just your thoughts for Sunday and get a prediction from you. How do you see this game playing out? What do you see for the final score?
Jay, I'm so bad at this. I'm like, whatever I say, first of all, just count on the opposite habit. I've been wrong of the Titans like all year. I feel like, you asked earlier about the revenge thing. And again, I don't think it's like a big rallying cry in the locker room, but I do feel like naturally human emotion dictates that some of these guys are going to be extra up for this one. I feel like the Titans are going to find a way. They've been incredibly good under Mike Vrabel with extra rest. And I think at home they find a way to get this, but there's still so many variables. Like, is Ja'Marr Chase going to come out and play and look like Ja'Marr Chase, Dupree, Fulton? There's so many things we don't know yet about how these teams are going to look Sunday. But at this point, I'll take the Titans in a 27-24 game.
Okay. That's about where I see this game playing out. I'm not going to give my prediction away here. For those of you guys listening to the podcast, Paul and I have our picks a little bit later in the show. For those of you watching on YouTube, head over to the full pod and hear how close I think Joe is on that score. Joe, really great catching up with you. I appreciate you taking the time out of your little mini vacation to do this and really look forward to catching up with you in the press box on Sunday.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me. Can't wait to see you guys.
All right. Great to hear from Joe. Give us insight into everything happening with the Titans, who are not going to be happy at all to see the Bengals. They are going to be a lot of people that have spent a lot of time thinking about that game are going to maybe get a little bit of shake, you get a little twitch going on in your neck and your head when you see somebody, kind of takes you back. There will be no shortage of motivation down in Nashville.
No, I remember, it was still raw at this point. It's late February. We're at the combine. So you're talking about 4 or 5 weeks after that loss. But the Titans GM sat down with their media and he cried. He's talking about the disappointment of that loss and how much he put on his shoulders. And you just get that sense of, you're the number one seed and you're playing a team that finally won a playoff game for the first time in 30 years. And you're supposed to win that game. And that was a huge blow for this franchise. And a lot of those pieces are back this year. They are not going to forget that. I'm sure it'll be downplayed all week. We don't care about payback. We don't care about last year. This is about this year. But guaranteed, that's going to be on their minds all week and at kickoff.
No question. Let's get into the segments, Jay. Here, I got a run, pass, or boot here.
Okay.
So run, pass, or boot. Of course, we know how many sacks were had last year and everything else that went on in that game. This is kind of a playoff game rehash. Run, pass, or boot for everyone to enjoy. Higher number on Sunday. Number of Tennessee sacks. Bengals points off turnovers, Evan McPherson field goals. What will be the highest number? Tennessee sacks, Bengals points off turnovers, Evan McPherson field goals.
You know, I hesitate to go with Evan McPherson field goals because the Bengals are on this incredible run in the red zone. They're just finishing drives with touchdowns down there. But I think this Titans defense is a little different, and I don't know that the Bengals are going to be able to finish these drives. And I think Evan's going to get his chances to kick maybe three like he did at Pittsburgh, maybe four like he did in the divisional game last year. You're not going to see nine sacks. I don't know if it's going to be as low as two, which it was against the Steelers on Sunday, but I could see sacks being three. I could see points off turnovers being three, and I'm going to go with Evan for field goals. So I'll run with Evan McPherson field goals. I'll go ahead. I'll pass on points off turnovers, and I'll boot sacks.
I'm going to run with points off turnovers. I do think there will be one or two by the Titans, and I could see the Bengals getting enough there for that to be enough. I will then pass on Tennessee sacks, and I'll boot Evan field goals. I don't know. I just feel like points off turnovers, seven, Tennessee sacks, three, McPherson field goals, two. I'm on the record.
I mean, it's easy. I mean, all it takes is one score off of a turnover. You got seven, and that's going to be hard for you. Well, McPherson's not going to kick seven field goals, and you would hope the Bengals don't give up seven sacks.
All right, let's get to our Bengals growler bet. You can, of course, send me an email, pdaner@theathletic.com, or hashtag Bengals growler bet on Twitter. Delicious 50 West beer could be yours. Christmas cookie out now, which is always a delightful thing to think about drinking. I think I might have a few this weekend. Growler bet, we're keeping it simple. Nice and simple, nice and easy, nice and clean. Got to hit it right on the nose. Derrick Henry rushing yards. Derrick Henry rushing yards is the number. What do you got?
I think it's going to be something similar to what we saw in Cleveland on Monday night where Nick Chubb was effective but not dominant. I can see Henry just barely topping the 100-yard mark. That they do have their passing game going. They're not going to have to rely totally on him. So I'm going to go 104.
104. I'm going to say I do think the Bengals' rushing defense has been solid. I don't think it's going to be a blow-up game. I'll have them for 78 in that game, and we'll see. We'll see where we end up. Who knows? All right. Final prediction for Bengals-Titans. What do we think we're going to see? Jay, what do you got?
Yeah, I think there's some payback in the works here for the Titans. I just think they're playing so well right now. I would have to go back and look. I don't know. Beating Pittsburgh always feels like a momentous thing for this franchise, and there's bound to be somewhat of a letdown, even though they know how important these games are and going on the road to play a playoff team that they beat last year. But I think it's going to be tight like most of these games are. And I think this time the Titans make the play at the end to win the game. I'm going to go Tennessee 27, Bengals 26.
27-26. Are you saying a field goal at the gun? Are you going field goal at the gun?
Is Randy back?
I don't know if Randy's back yet. He was hurt. They had another guy. So I don't know. We'll be watching that this week too. I feel similarly. You know, I still have concerns over the first half that we saw from the defense in Pittsburgh. I have concerns about the way the defense has played as a whole over the last month. They've granted some of it's been in garbage time, but some of it there's been the busts that we just that haven't really been a part of their DNA.
Yeah,
have showed up, and I don't know that. You worry about that against a defense that can maybe limit Burrow. I think these are two very, very evenly matched teams. Mm-hmm. But you have a road game. You have all the energy that's going to be there in the stadium and the motivation and everything else. I'm with you. But I think it is decided on the last play of the game. Mm-hmm. Either way, I really do. And I don't know which direction that's going to go. This feels like a coin flip game to me. Two very evenly matched teams. But I'm with you. I'm going to say Tennessee. I just think it's a tall order, a tough task on a team that's playing really well right now. Not that the Bengals aren't, but I think in totality, Tennessee's a little more well-rounded when you see the way the Bengals defense is still having some struggles and obviously missing Chidobe Awuzie and not getting as much pressure as they'd like and things like that. I think that ends up kind of being a little bit of the difference. So I'll have Titans 24-21. Mm. All right. That wraps us up. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope everybody enjoys the holiday. And we'll be back with the walkout on Sunday after the game in Nashville. So just the one episode this week as we get through all the holidays. Hope everybody takes time to be with their family and all that stuff. And we'll be back on Sunday with the walkout. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.